18, Proverbs 18 this morning. And also wanted to mention that for those of you that are active duty and you want to take some Bibles to share with your unit, you're more than welcome to do that. A lot of people ask questions. It's like, is it okay if, you know, if I want to get out a box? Absolutely. We try and just limit like one box at a time because 40 Bibles in there, so it's quite a few to get out. But if you want to take a box and distribute it to soldiers and our veterans, that'd be more than happy to let you do that. So don't be afraid to ask that. Proverbs 18 this morning. And so today, we're going to be doing a study on friendship from Proverbs 18, 24. And we live in a day where, how do we navigate friendship? Right? We live in a day where the idea of friendship especially has been changed, has been redefined. And as a Christian, how do we relate to others in the area of friendship? How do we relate to each other? We can be tempted in the evil day that we live in. You know what? I don't need to be friends with anybody. I'm an island unto myself. I am by myself. But the reality is we all need good Christian fellowship. We all need that. We all need encouragement. We all need that fellowship together to strengthen one another. But how do we form those relationships? And I'm so glad the Bible gives us the direction for that this morning. And we're going to look at some fundamentals here, some basic things. But it'd be surprised how many times that we struggle with the basic things. Amen? That we struggle with some of these things. So we're going to look at what friendship looks like in God's eyes this morning. If we could stand together out of respect for the reading of the Word of God, Proverbs 18, verse number 24. And this morning, we're going to read it out loud together. If you follow along as I read here, so we'll begin Proverbs 18, 24, and we'll read it out loud twice. A man that hath friends must show himself friendly. And there is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. One more time, Proverbs 18, 24. A man that hath friends must show himself friendly. And there is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. Let's pray together. Dear Heavenly Father, I pray your blessing on the message this morning. Oh Lord, that we would be godly in our friendships, dear Lord, and that we would model what you would have us to do, dear Lord, and that we would be there for one another. As it says at the end of this verse, Lord, there's a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. That we need friends, Lord, that are godly friends to fellowship with also, not just to have fun, but also to help us in the tough times. I pray that you would knit our hearts together, Lord. Help us, Lord, to see how we ought to be treating one another as friends, dear Lord, and how to form those relationships in a way that honors you. I pray your blessing this morning. I pray that you give me the words to say in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. In a message entitled Fundamentals of Friendship, it's always good to get back to the fundamentals. Whether you play a sport, whether it's basketball, football, hockey, any of those, there are some fundamental truths about how to play those particular sports. Whether it be how to do defense in basketball or in soccer even, how to do team plays, how to strategize. There's some fundamental things. I remember when I played soccer in high school, there are some fundamental things of how you kick the ball. You just don't kick it any way you can, but there's some fundamentals and to make sure that you use in order to kick that ball where you want it to go. Because in soccer especially, the goal of the game is to control the ball, not just kick the ball all over the place, right? To control the ball. That's the same thing in basketball. That's the same thing in football. Your job is to control that ball and get it where you want it to go so that you can score points so you can win the game. And the same thing in friendship. There's some fundamentals that we need to have. There's some fundamental things that God's Word gives us here in one verse what we need. Now, the first one you would think is very basic, and that wouldn't even go without saying, but number one is being friendly. So number one this morning, friendly. Are you a friendly person? Or do people look at you and they say, you know what, I don't want to be around that person because they look like they're going to bite. They look like they're having a bad day. They look like I don't want to be around that. I hope that we're not like that. We can be from time to time. We have struggles in our life. But in order to have friends, you must be friendly. A very basic thought. And that's a rather basic concept, but to be honest, it's one that we struggle with at times. That maybe we don't feel like being friendly. Many times we're friendly based on how we feel, not based on what we ought to be doing. Here's a definition of what friendly means: having the temper and disposition of a friend. Kind, favorable, disposed to promote the good of another, that you care about someone else and that you care about what's going on with them. You ask questions. That's why we say, how are you doing today? You know, sometimes, though, in our friendships, we can get kind of cliche, can't we? We have a pre-recorded questions and pre-recorded responses. Instead of saying, you know what, I had a rough week this week. I had a rough day today. You know, I appreciate you asking. I just want to let you know, just pray for me. You know, because some people do that. You know, don't pour mouth now, right? Like every week's a bad week for them, right? But no, generally just it's a sharing, having that kind, favorable, showing that you care, disposed to peace is another way to describe it. Some people complain about not having any friends. You know, Pastor, I just don't have any friends. You'll hear that from young people, right? Especially teenagers. I don't have any friends, right? I've had that said, you know, and parents come to me and say, well, my child doesn't have any friends. And then I go and talk to the child, and the child will barely speak. I wonder why they don't have any friends, right? Because you got to be friendly, right? You got to be, I understand they go through that awkward time and those awkward stages, right? My son's about to turn 13 this year. And he goes through those awkward stages, and they get embarrassed, right? My son never gets embarrassed about anything. You know, he's just outgoing, and he never gets embarrassed about anything. But, you know, sometimes kids can get embarrassed about things. They go through these awkward stages. But you know what they need during those times? They need someone to be friendly to them, to have a friend. Well, what about us older people? You know what older people need? We all need friends. Amen. We all need godly people in our life that will encourage us. Some people complain about not having friends. Well, you need to be friendly, but there's a reason sometimes. Some people are afraid to be friendly because it makes them feel vulnerable. They're afraid because they've been hurt in the past. Maybe they've been hurt by even someone who claimed to be a friend. They're hurt by someone who is a family member, someone that was close to them. So they have walled everybody off. You know what? If you are friendly to others, then you will find something that happens to you, that you will find yourself being joyous. When you open your heart up to someone and you are treating them and being kind and favorable, as it says here, Proverbs 15:13 says, a merry heart maketh a cheerful countenance, but by sorrow of the heart, the spirit is broken. We have to understand that when we have that cheerful countenance, now I'm not talking about putting on the plastic smile, right? Well, you know what, Pastor? I believe in honesty. I believe if I'm not feeling friendly, then I'm just not going to be friendly. If I'm having miserable, I'm going to wear the frown. I'm going to have the negative spirit because that's just, I'm being honest about how I am. Can we just say something here? We do need to be honest, but at the same time, if we're having that spirit, then it needs to be corrected. Amen. It doesn't need, well, it's just how I am. That's how I'm feeling right now. But even then, someone who has that spirit, they need a what? They need a friend to come to them and say, hey, are you doing okay? Is everything all right? To show that you care. But when we have that merry countenance and we have that cheerful countenance, we're encouraging to somebody else. One of the things I'm so thankful for is that I've had many people tell me over the last year or so, people that are first-time visitors to our church or just, you know, passing through, missionaries, evangelists, that, well, you know, I'm just so thankful that your church is a very friendly church. It makes me feel welcome. It makes me feel welcomed in. And I appreciate that because that's how Christians ought to be. There's too many churches that are not friendly. I've been in a couple of them. And walk in the door, and I'll never forget this. I was in Central Indiana. I've been a church I'd never been to before, and we were just visiting in the area, and I came into the church, and you know, actually it was a church. They supported the Stars and some people I knew, so I'm in the hallway, and I'm just there, and it's my wife, and this is before Luke and Abigail were born, so it was Timothy and Philip and Caleb, and so I was there standing, and I was just looking at the prayer letters, and the pastor walks up to me and says, who are you? And I was kind of taken aback a little bit, like, who are you? Just like that, looked at me like this, who are you? Like, I guess, did people not visit your church? I mean, I was just like, oh, I'm Pastor so-and-so, I'm just visiting, passing through the area, we're just coming to church. Oh, okay. Well, you can come in here and sit down. And walks away. And everybody in the church is like looking at me like, who is this person? Are they friend or foe? Not one person came up and shook our hand. I was like, we felt like we were, you know, a threat or something. I couldn't believe it. I was like, what is going on? Maybe there's something going on in the church I didn't know about. But I was just kind of, you know what? I'm sitting there in the service like, and I'm going through my mind. Did I do something? Did I say something? Did I have that kind of response? But you know what? It can be a lot of different reasons. But guess what? If that's people's first impression of us, we have to be careful about that because God's people, we ought to be friendly. Amen. Got to be kind and friendly, because if we don't have that friendliness, we're not going to be able to help people. We're not going to be able to care for people. We're not going to be able to show the love of Christ. If we are constantly in a downtrodden mood, then we're not going to have many friends. Life is too short to live in misery and alone, isn't it? There is so much that God wants to use us for. If we do not have relationships, then we do not have the support that we need, and we are unable to support others. Proverbs 27:17 says, iron sharpeneth iron. Illustration here. So a man sharpeneth the countenance of his friend. To be an encouragement. Have you ever had somebody come up to you and said, hey, are you doing okay? And then you just open up. Maybe you burst into tears, or maybe you just express and vent a little bit. So, you know, I'm just having a real struggle right now. This is going on. And you know what? Having someone say, you know what, let's pray about it right now. And they check up with you during the week and they say, we're praying for you. I want to be a help to you. You know, you make it through this. I want to encourage you. Trust the Lord. And that is a great encouragement. That's what iron sharpening iron means. So we need to sharpen each other's countenances. And also, ever just been coming to church, have had a rough week, and so you know what, just being in the house of God, among God's people, I'm encouraged. My spirit's uplifted. There's hope for the week ahead. That's how God's house ought to be. So the first thing is being friendly. Number two, part of friendship is trust. Now, all friendships have differing levels of trust. You can learn about relationships. We actually taught a class on that a few years ago, and there's usually four levels of friendship, being acquaintance, someone you just know, you know their name, and that's about it, your acquaintances. Then there's casual friends, maybe some people at work you work with, and you talk about a few things, you know, what the basketball score was, those type of things. Then you have close friends. Those are people that you are regularly with, and maybe at church even, or people that have similar values and similar belief systems to you, and you spend time with them, maybe outside of work or outside of church. They're a close friend. And then there's intimate friends, and I hope that some people who are married are intimate friends, and that they know a lot about each other and they encourage one another. Maybe they talk regularly. One of my closest friends was my mother. Talked to her every day and would call her on the phone and ask her advice. And she was not only my mother, but also a friend. And maybe we have someone like that in our life that we are good friends with, that we maybe text with or send WhatsApp messages to and just encourage one another. I hope that because you know what? We need that. We need that encouragement. God did not intend for us to suffer alone through things. We need the help of other people. And each one of these levels requires differing levels of trust. You know, we can maybe know someone's name, but we don't necessarily trust them because we don't know them. But as we grow in that relationship, as trust grows, friendships are a growing and living relationship, and trust is a key part of that, of any relationship, but especially friendship. And you know what? We need to be trustworthy. We need to be that good kind of friend. We don't need to be the fair weather friend. We need to be the friend that's there through thick and thin that is going to be an encouragement to that person, so that confidence or reliance or resting of the mind on the integrity of another person, that's what trustworthy means. Ultimately, all of our trust needs to be in Christ, doesn't it? Because man will fail. We will fail our friend. Our friend will fail us. But we know one who will never fail us. That is the Lord Jesus Christ. But that means, that's right, I'm only friends with God, I'm not friends with any other person because I don't want to get hurt. Well, then you're missing out on the rich relationship that God wants you to have. A person should be able to trust you, and you should be able to trust the other person. If you cannot, then friendship is impossible. They're not a friend. They're just somebody you know. They're not a friend. You need to be careful that we don't allow fear and mistrust to prevent us from having friendships that will enrich our lives and will help us grow spiritually, and we are able to help others grow spiritually. The third fundamental, first is being friendly, second is that of trust, third is our mindset. In order to be friends with someone, there must be similarities. We're to be friendly to everyone and seek friendship with everyone. But as friendships grow, they grow because of a similar mindset, similar values. We must let God choose our friends, because not everyone has the correct mindset, right? We live by the word of God. We were talking about this in the teen class. And we're looking at 1 Peter 3:10, how it says that if we will love life and see good days, that we first must master our tongue, master our what we say. And then the next part is to eschew evil, to reject evil. But here is the question, what is evil? What is right and wrong? How do we define that? Well, a lot of people define it by what the group, what the culture is saying. You know, what was right and wrong in 1940 is not the same in the United States of America as what's right and wrong in 2024. And what's right and wrong today in 2024 is not going to be the same what is in 2034. And it's changing. Cultures change, especially as our country has unmoored itself from the Bible. So our culture is constantly changing what is right and what is wrong. We see in the Old Testament, Israel had a problem with the priests and the teachers there, and the scholars of the Bible had trouble. They had gotten into a worldly and carnal mindset to where they were teaching those things that were evil to do in the eyes of God, that they were okay and good, and those good things to live for God, that those were wrong things. And they had switched it so that it would be self-serving, and it was not pleasing to God. So what do we define as right and wrong? In our mindset, it must be based on something. And we know man's opinion changes every 5 minutes, right? You know, we're in political season, aren't we? We're getting ready for an election in November. And, it's just sometimes embarrassing. I'll just be honest with you. I wonder what the rest of the world thinks of the United States of America right now. We look at all, especially the last 8 years. It's crazy. What's going on in our country right now? Just crazy things. What's going on in our Congress and just all the, even in our city, it's been some crazy stuff that's been going on. And we look at these things and we say, well, what people are thinking? And I say, you know what? People's opinion changes. The poll this week is not going to be the poll next week. Things change. But one thing that's never going to change is God's word and God's mind on things and God's thinking. He's never going to change. So we defined our mindset based on what God's is. Now, a lost person does not have the correct mindset because they are dead spiritually. Philippians 2:5 says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. As followers of Christ, we ought to have a mindset that reflects that of Christ and reflects that of Jesus. And that their reflection is that of compassion and that of love and that of care, but also, as we looked here just a moment ago, of eschewing evil, stepping away from things that are not of God, stepping away from things that are not pleasing to God. In Sunday school class, I just love this test to do good. If it doesn't, is this going to benefit myself and enrich myself in my walk with God? Is it going to help somebody else? And is it pleasing to God? If we can't answer yes to any of those three, then we ought not do it. That's a great idea. Praise God for that. That's a very simple test to put there. If it's not something that's going to help me grow spiritually, it's not going to help someone else, benefit someone else, either physically or spiritually, and it isn't pleasing to God, then we ought not do it. I said, Pastor, you know how much stuff that eliminates? It can eliminate a lot of stuff. But can I tell you this, that you'll have a closer relationship with the Lord, and then you'll have relationships and friendships that are deeper and have the same mindset. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, turn over there. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, beginning in verse 14. Turn over there if you could. Look at verses 14 through 17 for a moment. This is why we have to be careful as God's people. Obviously, the world's mindset is not that of God's. The mindset of what's going on in our country today or going on in Australia or England or the countries of the world, the major powers of the world, the mindset, not one of them has a mindset that is towards God or towards the Word of God or towards what God says is right and wrong. Instead, it said what man says is right and wrong. That man is the judge. That man is the be able to decide these things. You know, that gay marriage is okay and all of these things when God says it's not. And that is it's an affront to his creation. Can people be saved out of that? Absolutely. And I think some well-meaning people, but I think some Christian people take that a bit too far than they ought to. Those people can be saved out of those lifestyles. It's a sin like any other. They're not damned to hell because they do it. They're damned to hell because of sin, because we all are damned to hell because of sin. Amen. Now, that's what the Bible says. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And so, well, they've gone further. It's a sin like any other. They can be saved out of it. So we got to be careful about broad stroking things because Christ died for them too. And we need to share God's love with them. 2 Corinthians 6:14, be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers, for what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? So if you have the mindset of righteousness and the lost person that with unrighteousness, we see in the next part, what communion hath light with darkness? What concord hath Christ with Belial? Or what part of he that believeth with an infidel? So if you don't have the same mindset, so you're living for God, and you're trying to do right, you're trying to live right, trying to live clean, live pure, but you're friends with someone who drinks, smokes dope, curses, has nothing to do with God or the Bible, and curses God and curses the Word of God, curses their parents, why are we friends with them? Why do we have the mindset? I said, well, we want to be friends and so we can try and save them. Doesn't work that way. Never has and never will. There comes a time where we must say, okay, they are going this way and they are not listening to the Word of God. They're not wanting to listen to the Word of God. They're not wanting to walk with God. I'm walking with God. There will naturally be a separation of the ways that I'm going the way of God and right, and they're going the way of unrighteousness. How can two walk together except they be agreed? You can't. If you're not agreeing to go in the same direction because the paths are diverging, and if they're unwilling to change, so what you're going to have to compromise your righteousness in order to be over here. That's what's going to happen. You're going to have to compromise some things. You're going to have to excuse some things. You're going to have to overlook some things. Well, as long as they don't do those things in front of me, I can hang out with them. Mindset's still there. You're not wise. We need to be careful because the mindset will rub off on you. And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore, come out from among them, and be ye what? Separate. We can't be there. Saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. And we look at that. Well, if we separate that way, then we're being nasty and mean. No, you don't. You can be nasty and mean about it. You can be self-righteous about it. Some people do it that way, but that's it. You know what? This breaks my heart, but I can't keep going in the same direction with you. I care about you. I love you as a friend, but we're going in different directions. I'm going the way of God. You're going the opposite of God. You mock the things of God. You live a life affront to God, and I just can't walk this path with you anymore. I can't do it. Especially if you've been newly saved and you have to make some of those decisions. It's hard. Because people that you knew and people that you care about, now that you're saved, I'm going this way now. And this naturally happens, by the way, as you get in the Word of God and start living for God, and you're going, now I'm going this way. You're going in the opposite direction. Friendship with the world is enmity with God. And so they're like, wait, whoa, 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 wait, what? You're not partying with me anymore. You're not talking like me anymore. You're not acting like me anymore. What's wrong with you? You're no fun anymore. Well, because I'm doing right. I'm going the way that God would have me go. You know, a lot of young people face that. Some of the young people made some decisions for vacation Bible school this week, last week, and made some decisions. Some of you teenagers here, you've made some decisions for Christ as you're younger, but it gets harder as you get older, isn't it? It's getting hard because you're trying to do right and live right, but there you have friends over here that aren't doing right. What do I do? I want to have friends. I don't want to be alone. Find some godly friends. That's the answer. You can have friends, the right kind of friends. Wherefore, come out from among them and be separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. And this applies to friendships. Even a saved person can have an incorrect mindset. Here is the age-old adage, and it's true. You become who you spend time with. That you will be the same person today as you will be 5 years from now, except for the people you associate with and the books you read. That's very true. So if you're reading the Bible, you're going to be different now than you will be in 5 years from now. But if you're reading other things that influence your thinking and influence your life, or consuming social media or consuming digital things that are affecting your thinking and are not guiding you in the right way, then you will not be where you are now spiritually. You'll be backslidden. Or if you're in the Word of God and growing and memorizing, which, by the way, tonight we're going to be looking at some of those things this evening in the evening service at 6, that we'll be growing closer to God, and also who you place in your life to hang out with and to spend time with and fellowship with. They said, well, I can bring them all up with me. I can bring them. Yes, they're not the godliest people in the world, but I'll help them out. Doesn't work that way and never will work that way. Oh, every single time in the Bible we see that happen, what happens? The righteous begins to what? Do wrong. And never lead the unrighteous to do right. Never happens. Because that's what our nature is, and God knows our nature. Why do you think God says that we need to separate ways? And really it comes down to number four is loyalty. Loyalty. If you're not a true friend, then there must be loyalty. If you are to be a true friend, there must be loyalty. If you're not loyal, then you're not a true friend. Because what happened to the prodigal son? He went out and he lived a life of riotous living, and he had a lot of friends because he had money, because he would pay for parties and he had a lot of friends. But guess what? When he ran out of money and the famine was there and he didn't have any money to buy the expensive cars and the hotels and the parties and the alcohol and the drugs and the gambling, and lived riotous living and wasted on women and the prostitutes and all of these things and OnlyFans and all these other things. He wasted his living on all of that. And guess what? All those friends disappeared, didn't they? Left in a pig pen, eating corn husks. Now, what is a corn husk? That which does not have the corn on it, the husk. That's all he had left to eat, was that. As a fair weather friend, because they want something from you, not because they care. But then a real and loyal friend will have be true to the duty and not treacherous. They will be there no matter what. We can, and this is an important thing, so what if I have to part ways with someone who is a friend? You don't stop caring about them, and you'll always be there for them. Always, always. Can I tell you this? Mark it down, write it down, write it in the front of your Bible. Even though people that have walked away from God and walked away that path, you have separated ways, always express, write it down, always express that you care and love them, even though they try to be contentious, even though they try to make it a big issue. You don't let it be that issue. Mark it down. When they're in trouble, they will come and find you. Mark it down. I've seen it happen over and over and over again in my life, as a pastor and as in family members even. Show that you care. You're not walking with them. You've separated the way, but always express you care. When they're in trouble, they will come find you. And then they're open to the love of God. They're open to the gospel. They're open to turning back to God. And said, I need help. What do I do? And then you lead them in the way of God. So do this. Come back to God. A true friend will tell you the truth, not what they want to hear. Do you want a friend that tells you the truth, or a friend that just tells you what you want to hear? When we are a loyal friend, there are some attributes of this loyalty. Well, the first thing is you'll not receive an accusation against them, whether gossip or splendor. So I'm not going to let you talk about my friend like that. No, I'm not going to hear that. You will defend the character of your friend. You will not betray them by gossiping about them. You will not betray the trust they have in you. Look at Proverbs 27 again, Proverbs 27 verse 10. Gives us the attribute of friends that are lifelong friends. Proverbs 27:10, we saw in our passage, a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. Thine own friend and thy father's friend forsake not, neither go into thy brother's house in the day of thy calamity, for better is a neighbor that is near than a brother far off. So what is that talking about? It said thine own friend, and what does it say? Thy father's friend. Okay, he's talking about friends. So when you're in trouble and the calamity happens, you got to be friends with your neighbor. It's better to go to your friend that lives in town than family members that live halfway across the country. Do the family members care about you? But does your friend know your day-to-day, know the day-to-day you? How many of you, you don't need to raise your hand, that you have family members that live at different parts of the country you haven't seen in 10 years? Be honest, they don't know who you really are, and you don't know who they really are. They're family, but you don't really know, because you don't spend all the time with them. But someone who's a close friend, who is a loyal friend, they know the real you on a day-to-day basis. And guess what? When you need help, you go to them instead of people you haven't met barely in 10 years. That's the importance of friendship. We need to be careful of making sure that we're being loyal. But one of the best friendships you can have, though, is not just friends with people here on this earth. We cannot be the proper friend if we're not willing to walk with God. Because friendships will become selfish. We'll be eaten up with selfishness. The best friendship we can ever have is our friendship with Jesus Christ himself. James chapter 2, verse 23 says, "And the scripture was fulfilled, which saith, Abraham believed God, and it was imputed unto him for righteousness. Colon, second thought, and he was called the friend of God." Abraham was called the friend of God. Imagine that. God was his friend. Yes, almighty, all-powerful, omnipotent God was his friend. He walked with God. Did Abraham make his mistakes? Oh, yes, he made his mistakes. But he was the friend of God. Moses also had a very close relationship with God. And he told Aaron and Miriam, he said, "Others I talk to you through visions and through dreams." He said, "But Moses, I speak face to face with. I have a close relationship with him. He has a close relationship with me." Do we have a close relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ? Do we have a close relationship with God? If we do, then we'll be the right kind of friend to people here on this earth. We'll have the right mindset. We'll have a selflessness. We'll have a compassion and a love and a caring. We'll be able to help them when they're in their time of need because we are the friend of God. So this morning, do we have the fundamentals of friendship down? Or maybe there's some decisions we need to make about friends. Maybe we're not as open as we need to be. Maybe we're too open with the wrong people. Or maybe there's some friends in our life that we haven't been as loyal to as we need to be. And we haven't been as caring as we need to be. We haven't been the friend that they needed. Instead, we're the friend that told them what they wanted to hear instead of the truth. Whatever the case may be, I encourage you this morning, if you are not the friend of God, you're not the friend of the Lord Jesus Christ. Like, I don't even know him. I need to know him as my Savior. For all of sin to come short of the glory of God. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, have you trusted Christ as your Savior this morning? If not, we'd love to take a Bible and show you how to be saved. I said, "Well, Pastor, I'm saved, but I haven't definitely not been the friend of God." You can change that today. You can decide, "I'm going to live for God. I'm going to live to have that relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm going to be the friend of the Lord." And when we're friends with someone, we do what pleases them, right? We do what pleases them because we love them and we care about them. In the same way, when we're the friend of God, we love the Lord our God. We love him and we care about what he cares about. And we don't want to do anything to injure that friendship. What position are we in this morning? Do we have those fundamentals down, or maybe the Lord has challenged us in some areas? I encourage you during invitation time to take those things to the Lord and say, "Lord, I'm not as good a friend as I need to be. I need to grow in these certain areas. I need to be friendly. I need to be open. I'm afraid, but I need to be open with people. And also, I need to be sharing the gospel with my friends that are maybe lost, that I know that are lost. I need to be sharing that." How can we call someone a friend who's lost and we have never shared the gospel with them? They're in the danger of the pit of hell and we're unwilling to share the gospel, then we're definitely not the right type of friend. But if we are, though, we will share the gospel with them and share how they can be saved. So what kind of friend are we? Do we have the fundamentals down? Or do we need to go back to school this morning? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you, Lord, this morning for your word. And Lord, friendships that are rich and based in a relationship with you, dear Lord, they're wonderful. They last for a lifetime. And friends that are there in time of trouble. I pray, Lord, that you would be with this invitation time. I pray if any here this morning that they're not saved, that they would be saved this morning. But perhaps some, they haven't been the type of friend they need to be. They haven't spoken the truth in love. Maybe there's some conflict. Maybe there's some hurt. I pray, Lord, that we would take care of it with you today and then take care of it with them and mend those friendships. I pray your blessing, Lord, and your guidance, and that you would guide your people this morning. In Jesus' name, amen.